Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today's episode features Brother KR from episode 62, where he talked about how he retired at the age of 40 by using real estate. But this snippet is all about his process. Now, in real estate, you know that either you're going to have property managers or you're going to manage things yourself. And so I love to hear how he manages his own process and how he started literally from the bottom of the 2009 crash and he built up his portfolio. But what was his process? And so, yo, take your pads out. Let's get into it. This is a great one. Let's go.
So you mentioned a couple things that I want to touch on. So one, you said, you know, you weren't an expert. You didn't know everything, but you're like, I know one thing. People are panicking. These homes are getting let go for cheap. I just got to get in and I'll figure out the rest later. And I really like that you mentioned that because a lot of, obviously you should do due diligence. You should do all those things, right? But at a certain point, you just got to pull the trigger. And like you said, plan for the worst, hope for the best. So I think it's great that you went into it with that mentality. Cause can you imagine what if at that time you kind of were doing what everybody else was doing and you kind of just stayed on the sidelines? You might've just stayed there forever, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's so easy. Cause a lot of people say, oh, I have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. So what I said is, look, I'm going to put my head down. I'm just going to buy this property. If I got to figure out how to fix it on my own, that's where we're going to go. I do not care. I want to make this happen. And I wanted to start with the messiest, most difficult foreclosed property because I said, then I could go backwards. So I start when it's really hard. Then I start moving into now. I'd like to do easy breezy houses, easy breezy house or apartments where it's just cover girl. We just go in there and fix that thing up. Bam, bam. But that experience really helped me and it builds that confidence to say, look, no matter what the world throws at me, I'm going to come out the corner swinging. And so that's what I was able to learn from doing that.
Definitely. Definitely. And what was it like? You know, you got in there, of course, no walls, all that stuff. How, as a brand new investor, how did you navigate that? How did you eventually figure things out and get it ready in about a month?
So what the good thing about when I worked at Goldman Sachs, what I learned. So when we started, the training was so organized and seamless. It's like they could have changed the instructor no matter what. It was interchangeable. So we had a book, the Goldman Sachs valuation book, was kind of like a Bible, 300 pages. I still have it to this day. And so they handed that to each of the students that were about to start working full time. And they said, use this as a reference guide. So my training working on Wall Street and for the hedge fund taught me that, look, before you go into war, you got to have some framework for understanding stuff. And that's what we do on KJ Consulting on our IG page is we say, look, you need to have a framework because if you have a framework, you stack the odds in your favor to be successful. So I already started saying, all right, this is how I'm going to analyze the market because I was a research analyst. I said, this is how I'm going to analyze the property. This is how I'm going to interact with the potential contractors and check their work. So I worked really hard about, all right, these are the questions I have to ask the contractor. This is how I'm going to check their work. So I always like to use a relationship metaphor for how a relationship analogy about how you should think about picking people you want to work with. So I did all this prep work and came up with my own little best practices book. You would think I was like buying an apartment building. I was buying one house with three bedrooms and a bath, but I did all this work about 200 pages saying, this is all the details. If this happened, I got to go this way. I got to pivot this way, pivot that way. I got to talk to all these people. And it was funny because I would interview and they're like, how big is your project? You only got that little house. I don't know why you want to talk to us for 2 hours. You just go get somebody else, that little bit of money you got. So I think that made it so much easier to knock out that first house. And also it made it easier for me to graduate from single families to apartment buildings.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that's great. You know, like you established that framework. You were so detailed, probably to the point where people thought you were doing too much, but I'm sure just starting with that groundwork now and just that level of detail, I'm pretty sure over time it made it easier for you to larger deals.
Oh yeah, definitely make it easier for you to go on vacation, for you to put the team together. It's just like I was talking to my property manager who's a family member and I said, He does a lot of work. My stepmom does the other work on property management, but we have like a one pager we give the people, and that tells you how to take care of the granite countertops, how to take care of electric glass top stove. And it's just a one pager. People don't know this stuff, but we tell you exactly how to clean it, how to maintain it, because these are my babies. I can't be just giving my children to anybody. So we want to make sure you understand what to feed them.
Definitely. Definitely. So you mentioned that after that, you continue to acquire single family homes. So I guess, can you talk about like that next phase of the progression and just adding more properties?
Yep. So think about it this way. When I bought one of these properties, I bought it for like, say, $22,000, an ROE property. You buy it for $22,000 from like auction.com. And then you spend about $17,000 for rehab and materials. So we're all in at a certain amount, which is like $47,000. Now that will be $49,000. So you're at $49,000. Then you go to the bank and you refi it. They say it's valued at $115,000. So I can go and take money out. So now I have like $85,000 that the bank gave me. What you do is you do that for like 10 properties. Most people, they get their $85,000. They're like wilding out like, oh, son, I got to go buy a new car. I gotta go, did I take my girl here? I was like, no, I'm going to keep my 9 to 5. So some people will quit and just say, I'm going to keep doing flips and fix houses up and things that they, not me. You buy 10 of these houses and you manage to keep your costs low. After 10 of these properties, you have anywhere between $600,000 to $800,000 sitting in the bank because you decide to keep your cash flow. And also the cash flow is the monthly rent. You're not using that because you still have a 9 to 5. So I kept my 9 to 5 to 2020. So I'm saving all that money. You then can go out and let's say I bought a triplex, which was $195,000, but to keep it simple, $200,000. You put 30% down, that is $60,000. Remember, I said we have $600K over here. So we just take $60,000 from our own bank. That way I didn't have to use hard money lenders. I saved my own money. I'm able to buy that triplex. Then I bought a 12 unit complex for like $450,000. Make that easy, $500,000. And you put, let's say, 20% down. So now I just need $100,000. So then I go back to KR Bank, take $100 over here and buy my own apartment building. And then what you do is this bank account is keep going down. Then once you get to a certain level, you're probably only left with $100K. Then you think about syndication. Then you go call some of your friends or you have a reputation. You say, I have $100, you have $100. Let's go buy a building together for $1 million. And that is how you keep majority of your ownership. And then you start to think about syndication. And that's how my evolution was.
Got it. So it seems like it's very, very methodical and very, very intentional.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't wake up like this. I had to do this and come up with a game plan. The thing about when you grow up in extreme poverty and you have that hunger, you burn that bridge that you just crossed over, there's no way going back. It's like, this is what I have to do. I don't have the option of the luxury of falling back on someone. Both my parents, biological parents, are deceased, and my grandparents. So I had to just go and duke it out. So I'm just like a regular cat that been through some hardship that said, nah, son, I ain't going back to being poor. Let me figure this out. So I came up with my own roadmap.
Definitely. So as you built your portfolio, I guess in the earlier years, obviously you still had a very demanding 9 to 5. So can you talk about how, and you also talked about the benefit of keeping it, which I think is a great thing. So can you talk about just like how you balance those two things, like just how you made sure things are continuing to progress on the real estate side, like you continue to find deals and make sure rehab is done and all that stuff?
So what was crazy is before I graduated from Bowdoin College, I spent my own money to take like an accounting course, two accounting courses outside of Bowdoin College because we didn't have accounting courses. I also spent my money in this, the time I'm only like 22, 23. I also spent $500 taking like a Franklin Covey course on time management because I said, look, some of these cats are going to be super sharp, smart. I got to figure out how do I manage my time because I always knew I wanted to be a business owner, not just just an employee. So I said, time management is very important. And in our course, we actually spent some time teaching about time management. And so from that practical experience, from taking a course, understanding like time management, knocking out the most important things, I was able to come up with a game plan for every day when I was going into work. I would say, these are the four things I have to achieve, and everything else on the day is gravy. So I'll say I have to do four things. I need to talk to my stepmom, who's a property manager, or my brother. And these are people I'm training. So I'm building out my own team because I wanted to keep that 10% or 7% and don't give that to an outside party. So I would come up with the two to four things every day I had to do while I was working 9 to 5. And I said, look, even if I fell at my job, I got to make sure I knock out these two or four things and keep it very simple. And that's why in the beginning, I did not want to buy so many properties really fast. I wanted to take my time. Things done well are done soon enough. And so as you're building out that portfolio the first couple of years, you're building out that that track record, and you're building those relationships. You're really spending time with all the different parties involved. And then you have the reputation that now the bank said, oh, we'll break you off with $1 million, $2 million. Last year I did like $5 million worth of deals. And they said, KR, it's because you have that track record and you have the relationship and you have shown us that you are a skilled operator. And so that was developed over time by taking baby steps versus just running. That's why I was able to do that over that time period.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.